Good afternoon. You're listening to KTAL LP, Las Cruces, New Mexico, a community radio station. We are at 101.5 on the FM dial. We're also streamed live at lccommunityradio.org. Welcome to the show Science. Let's Take a Look. I'm your host, Vince Guchik, and we'll be going through a lot of stories about science, personalities, facts, concepts, interesting things to do, social relevance of science, and so on. I was scheduled to have Clay Doyle, Vice President for Transmission and Distribution of El Paso Electric Company, today, but he got tied up. He will be on next week, the 26th. These shows go on every Tuesday, noon to 1. So, by the way, you can get comments to me or suggestions by email. My email is vince.guchik@gmail.com, or maybe it's simpler, vince@lascrucesacademy.org. I'm the board chair at the Las Cruces Academy, a nonprofit private school. You can also text me at my phone, which is 575-571-2269. In the future, I hope to master a very simple way to get phone calls, although it's kind of complicated on the control board, and it'd be easier if we could screen calls. But anyway, you can also hear some of my past segments. I have recorded them. I have been putting them on my website, which is science-technology-society.com. Let me give you a quick rundown of what I covered in the first two shows. On the 5th of December, I started out with why are plants green, viewed scientifically, and I reached all the way up to water use by crops, and then even the GRACE satellites circling the Earth. Also, there's two around the moon. And then there was a segment I did about risks that we take voluntarily or unknowingly, including radioactive potassium. All potassium is mildly radioactive. And then on show two, which was on the 12th of December, I had two students, Arabella Comunez and Kira Durrett, from our school, and they are deep into science. So we had some long discussions with them. And then I did a segment called You Make More Heat Than the Sun. And you'll be interested to hear that, I hope. I'll have it on the website. I would like to tell you what the motivation is here. So I'm telling stories of science, distilling the work of thousands of working scientists, and accurately, I hope. By and large, I'm telling them as established facts, but that's only part of science, the body of knowledge that we've put together. The way that we scientists establish facts and concepts is at least as interesting, and I'll get to that in later shows. Meanwhile, we'll also talk about how certain we can be about various things we believe we've established, and even how to estimate how uncertain we are. Now, back to why do the stories about science? Well, in 2008, science journalist Robert Krulwich was the commencement speaker at Caltech for our son's graduation. He said, we have stories. We need to get them out, get our fair share of the sun, whatever you want to call it, and help cut back on the war on science, which is pretty prominent these days. While I'm at it, let me tell you one thing that bugs me in science reporting. Somebody will say there's a dramatic discovery and it overturns established scientific dogma. Almost never, because most findings, great or small, are really extensions of current science. Look at the theory of relativity. Did it completely replace Newtonian or classical mechanics? No. Newtonian mechanics works really well for us to design machines and structures all over the world. Relativity is needed mostly applied as a correction, say to space flight and so on, no one would use the general framework of relativity to design a rocket and its trajectory control at all stages. Though there is one really interesting story that the Global Positioning Satellite System, GPS or GPSS to be in full, had a switch set in it that could be controlled from the ground because some of the engineers didn't believe that relativistic corrections mattered for this orbiting satellite. Basically setting the timing. The timing has to be within billionths of a second, and it turned out to be really important because it was off by about 11 kilometers a day without the relativistic correction, so they turned it on. Let me start with a segment that I will call Are We All Fatheads? And it starts out with the brain. Okay, our brains in the dry matter part, which is 20% of the total mass, are over one-third lipids, which are fat-like molecules. And we need these fats, these lipids, to, among other things, provide electrical insulation around the axons and dendrites of the billions of nerve cells in our brain. Then how much of that fat is cholesterol, which some people think of as the bogeyman in heart health? I saw a startling claim in a book. I believe it was Chemistry in the Marketplace by Ben Selinger, that half of the brain's mass is cholesterol. Well, that's not possible on a fresh mass basis, but how much is it? Let's diverge a little bit right now before we go into how much cholesterol there is and so on. What is the brain? There's so many descriptions of it. I would say it's a general purpose computer of stunning capacity made of squishy stuff. Well, it's not fully general purpose, I have to admit. For instance, we're programmed to instantly recognize threats and short-lived opportunities. But most of us are stumped about exactly what to do about global and long-term issues such as climate change. One of the great illustrations of how the brain is really quick at short-term threats and opportunities shows a picture of a man in Africa running from a hippo. We know right away to run away and have some idea about exactly how to do it. Hippos kill more people than any other large animal. Of course, small animals do more than the mosquitoes carrying malaria and everything else. So we're not as fast on certain tasks, very specialized tasks, as shown by IBM's Watson and Deep Blue and so on. But we can do so many other things very quickly. Basically, I view the brain as both an analog and a digital computer. Well, you would be hard-pressed to find digital encoding because it doesn't work on a numeric system. But the brain does process elaborate inputs from millions of retinal cells just to make an image in our brain. It's at the same time accepting thousands of other inputs of many kinds. I still remember I was in a chemistry building and I sniffed an odor and instantly I recalled the odor of the old red vinyl records from maybe 30 years ago in my life. How many computers can take all kinds of inputs and make sense of them pretty quickly? Now, some electronic computers tend that way. We have a Raspberry Pi computer, tiny little thing, and it helps to, well, it does really, run this light up periodic table of the chemical elements that we built at our school over 3 years. Why was it better than, say, a laptop, other than being small and low powered? Well, it has 26 general purpose input output pins. So we could control, well, I think we could set it up to do about 18 of those pins as controlling individual outputs. We would send these outputs to a logic board that we also designed and built, and it would turn on anything on the lights behind the periodic table chart that we wanted. Okay, so there's the digression about computers and brains. So it turns out that cholesterol is about 11% of the mass of the brain. It's about, that's the dry mass, about 7% of the gray matter, 15% of the white matter, and 20% of the myelin that insulates all the axons and dendrites. We need insulation. Otherwise, it would be like setting some bare copper wires all around a circuit, all shorting out. So let's take a brain fresh mass. Okay, operating condition, it's about 1.3 kilograms, 1,300 grams. Let's see, what's that in pounds? About 3 pounds in an adult. And our dry mass is about 18% of that. And to be over fine about significant figures, let's say 234 grams. What's that? About 8 ounces. So that makes the cholesterol content about 25 grams. And that, for the standard 70 kilogram person, we have about 32 grams total in our central nervous system, mostly in the brain. Now, the brain, in looking in the large, has about 1/5 of all the cholesterol in our body, even though it's only 2% of the total mass. We are fat heads, or you might say cholesterol heads. Okay, we need cholesterol in large amounts then. For what besides insulation in the nervous system? Well, it's a component of all cell membranes. That means all of our, what is it, 10 trillion cells. We also use it to make vitamin D for lots of things, bone growth and you name it, sex hormones, and bile salts. Okay, what are bile salts for? We eat fats, and we have to present them to the cells in the intestine that are going to try to digest them. So they have to be presented in a liquid medium, watery medium. Well, cholesterol and the bile salts, as part of the bile salts, actually emulsifies them like lecithin in mayonnaise, enabling the water-insoluble fats to stay in solution or suspension. Now, the body doesn't wait for us to get cholesterol in our diet, although we can get it. It makes a lot on its own, maybe most on its own, and sometimes a little too much for our own good if you have certain genetic dispositions. Okay. Here's a side thought. What's the most cholesterol you can get in your diet? If you eat cow brains, you're going to get a lot of cholesterol. They're lower as a percentage of cholesterol than human brains, and I hope you're not getting those. So they make up about 2% of the wet mass of cow brains. Suppose you bought a full can, which has 140 grams of brains, 5-ounce can, then you get about 2.8 to 3.5 grams of cholesterol. Well, our recommended dietary intake is only about 3/10 of a gram per day. So don't eat brains too often. Now, high cholesterol levels are considered disadvantageous. Now, there's various reasons to accept that, but there's an interesting finding that high cholesterol may be better for brain function, especially late in life. I'm pretty much there, so I'm happy for that, but I really don't have high cholesterol. So we've got a trade-off. You can have good brain function or good cardiovascular function. Pretty much take your pick, although most of the time we don't make our own pick. It's set for us. So I'm going to take a break here. We'll be back again with more stories of cholesterol and other things. We'll see you in a couple of minutes.